Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to John 10, and we're going to start in verse 11. And I'm going to be speaking about the resurrection today, as this is Resurrection Sunday that we're commemorating, that we're celebrating today. And I'm going to be speaking about the resurrection and different aspects of it. First, number one is that Jesus laid down his own life, that he gave up his life, that he sacrificed his life for you and for me, that he shed his precious blood on the cross. And I pray, beloved, that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you worship him today in spirit and in truth, that you worship him and you give thanks for your life. Everything that you have is from Jesus. Everything that you are is from God. And so we take this time today just to thank him and commemorate and receive the blessings that God has for us as we walk on this earth as children of God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, I hope that you take this time to meditate on your life and just to pray about that God would reveal himself, that he would reveal Jesus to you, maybe through the words of this message, that he would reveal Jesus to you, or through someone else, or maybe God will do something mighty in your life, that you will know this is an act of God, that you will know that this isn't just ordinary stuff going on in your life, that there's something God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring salvation to you. He wants to bring you into that place where you know that you are a child of God. And so if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you ask the Lord to reveal himself to you today, that you ask the Lord to say, Lord, show yourself mighty to me. Show yourself mighty to save. I want to know for certain that I am saved, that I am set aside for all eternity. And beloved, if you do that, if you come to the Lord with sincerity and you believe that he is able to do that, he is able to show you his power, show you his will, and to set you aside to receive the blessings of the kingdom. If you do that in faith, God will reward your faith, that little faith that you have, the faith of a mustard seed. God will reward it, and he will show you the blessings that he has for you. He will show you the secrets of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and you will see that he loves you, that he cares about you, he cares about every detail of your life. And if you do that today, God will be faithful and true to reveal himself to you. Well, in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And in this story, in this parable, Jesus is talking about the sheep, and that is us, beloved. He relates to us as sheep, and he is the shepherd. And just as in the natural life, the shepherd cares for the sheep, he goes after all the lost sheep. He goes down over the hill and down over the cliff to get that one that is lost. So too, Jesus Christ cares for you. He loves you, and he wants to bring you into the fold. He wants to bring you into that sheepfold, a place of rest, a place where there is provision, a place where there is peace and there is love for you. And that is God's desire, that none should be lost. None should be lost. That all should come to know repentance, that God is not slow about his promise to save every one of us, to save all of his children. He is not slow, but he is concerned about every single one of us. And so when you become impatient about your loved ones coming to know the Lord, or maybe God isn't hearing your prayers, maybe God doesn't answer your prayer just like you want it to, or in the time frame that you want, just know this, that God is not slow about his promise to bring salvation to all who desire it, but God is faithful, and he wants to see every single person come to repentance. And so therefore, sometimes we say, God, you're too slow to move, you're too tardy to get there. And I just want you to know, beloved, God hears your prayers, you stay faithful, you keep praying, you keep asking, and God will be faithful and true to deliver the promises of the kingdom to you and to your family. Well, John 10:17, Jesus says, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. In John 10:18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And so Jesus basically was talking about his divinity there. He was saying, I, in my natural flesh, I may look like a man to you. I am a man. Jesus was fully 100% man, but he was also fully 100% divine. And because when he went to the cross, he was sinless. His blood was sinless. His sacrifice was sinless. His sacrifice was without blemish. And so therefore, when he went to the cross, his payment, his blood payment, was sufficient for the sins of all mankind. That includes you. That includes me. I have a testimony many of you have heard, but God spared me from death. God showed me how much he loved me, how much he cared about me when I was in the depth of my despair, and he will do the same for you no matter what's going on in your life. Beloved, maybe you think God doesn't know about the details of your life. Maybe you think God doesn't care about the details of your life, and I can assure you he cares about you, and I can assure you that the payment for your sin, whatever you are trapped in today, whatever circumstances of your life are bringing you down and separating you from God, I can assure you that Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he knew about the dilemma that you are in today. He knew about the problems that you're having today. And if you're separated from God and you don't know God, I can assure you that the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross is sufficient for all of your sins, all of your iniquity. Everything that has happened to you has come to this point, has brought you to a place where you may need to cry out to God. You may just need to get on your knees and cry out to God and ask him to show himself mighty to save and show himself faithful to answer your prayer. And sometimes the simplest prayer is the best prayer, and just say, Lord, help me. Lord, show me. Show me your way. Show me your way. And if you do that and you're sincere and you repent of your sins, you turn away from your sins and you say, Father, I have sinned against you, and I have sinned against man, and I have sinned against heaven, and Father, I ask you to raise me up to a new day, to a new creation. Father, raise me up and show me your way. And if you do that in sincerity of heart and you get down on your knees and you ask the Lord to forgive you, and you repent of your sins, God will forgive you. He is faithful and true to forgive you. He is faithful and true to impart the kingdom of God into you through the Holy Spirit and to lead you into a life of righteousness and holiness. Well, the second part of my message here that I want to point out to you, the offering of the blood on the cross in the Old Testament. Many of you know that over and over, the offering of bulls and goats and other animals had to be made to cover for the sins of the people. And each year, the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies, and he would offer the blood of the sacrifices of the animals, and he would offer it for the sins of the people. But it had to be repeated over and over every year, and even every day. When the people came to the temple, they made sacrifices, they made offerings, peace offerings, and sin offerings, and guilt offerings, and all kinds of offerings, and it always had to be accompanied by the blood of bulls and rams and goats, and this was a continual process, a perpetual process that had to occur over and over in the covenant of the Old Testament. And the reason why was because none of these offerings, none of these sacrifices that were made for the sins of the people were sufficient to really cover the sins of the people. They were not blemish-free, so therefore the offerings had to be made over and over. And so this went on for hundreds of years, and eventually God said he looked around for something or someone to make an offering that was perfect, that it was blemish-free, that it would cover the sins of all mankind for all time, not just the sins for the people of that day, but the sins for those coming in the future, you and I, 2,000 years later, and the sins of those who had believed in God in the years prior, in the Old Covenant, those saints who had believed in God in the years prior, the blood offering that Jesus Christ made on the cross was sufficient to cover their sins as well. And so, because God is not confined by linear time, the sacrifice that Jesus made covered all of those before him. It covered all of those during his generation, in his time, when he was on the cross. It also covered the sins of those who were in the future. That is, those who live today, those who live next year, next month, all of those in the future. The sin offering that Jesus made with his own special precious blood was sufficient to cover our sins as well. And so you can have full assurance that you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can have full assurance that he made the sacrifice that covers your sins once and for all. Well, Hebrews 9, the chapter that speaks about the blood offering and how it was offered up to God. This was a chapter that was written by, I believe, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Hebrews 9, verse 11. It speaks of this offering. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot or blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so what the apostle is saying here is that Christ came as the high priest, the great high priest of all time, and he was greater than any high priest of the Old Testament. He was greater than any high priest of the temple and the temple sacrifices of that time, and that he went into the Holy of Holies, which is heaven itself. After he went to the cross and after he shed his precious blood, he went into the Holy of Holies, which is heaven itself, not made with hands, not of a creation made with man's hands, such as the Old Testament tabernacle. But he went into heaven itself, that place where God sat, and he offered his precious blood. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot or blemish to God, and cleanse our conscience, or your conscience, from dead works to serve the living God? And so we all have dead works in our life, beloved. If you're listening to me today and you understand that you have sinned, you understand that you have dead works and that your conscience is not clean from your sin, you need to confess your sin before God. You need to get down on your knees and do business with God. And you can be assured that the blood of Jesus will cleanse your conscience, will purify you. It doesn't matter what you've done. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it does not matter what you've done. And many times I've heard testimonies of men in the prison, men who have long rap sheets and have been separated from God sometimes their whole life and done many, many despicable things. And yet God cleanses them. God brings them into the fold. God says, you are my sheep now. You are mine now. And when they repent and they turn from their wicked ways, God can redeem even the most dreadful of us. And my testimony is of that nature as well. I was a great sinner and separated from God, and God raised me up to a new day. He raised me up to preach the word and to go to the nations to share the good news of the gospel, and he will do the same for you, beloved. He has a destiny spoken over you even before you were born. He has a calling on your life spoken over you even before you were born. And I know some of you out there today, you may feel like you've done something that God just can't forgive. Well, that's not true. That's a lie from the devil. God can forgive every single sin that we do here on this earth, there's only one sin that God cannot forgive, and that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. When you deny the convicting, convincing power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you deny Jesus Christ, that is the only sin that you cannot receive forgiveness for. That is the only sin that God says, I will not forgive it. Any other sin, I don't care if you murdered, I don't care if you raped, you've stolen, you've slandered people, you've been a drunkard, a drug dealer, whatever it is, God can forgive you, and He will, and He does. But you have to say yes to Jesus. You have to say yes to the convincing, convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was sent into the world to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and those three things. And when you come to the Lord and you say, Lord Jesus, I've been a sinner. I have turned away from you. I have walked away, and I've walked my own way. I've done my own thing here, but it has not turned out well. You may be sitting in a prison cell. You may be sitting in your own home and in a prison. And God wants to release you from that place today. He wants to release you so that you can walk in freedom today. He wants to release you so that you can know the kingdom of God in your life, that you can know that God cares about you, that He loves you. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you happiness. And as you turn to Him today and know that the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all your sins, then God says, you are my child. You can walk with me and be called a friend of God. Hebrews 9:22, and according to the law, that is the Old Testament law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Verse 28, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So Jesus Christ's sacrifice does not have to be repeated over and over. He doesn't have to go to the cross every year to shed His precious blood. It was done once, and it was done for all time, and it accomplished everything that the Father sent Jesus to accomplish, and it accomplished the cleansing of our sins. It accomplished the payment, the atonement for our sin, and that was God's will, and Jesus Christ came into this world to do what the Father had sent Him to do, and He accomplished it. And you can rest assured that the work has been done. Well, the third point I want to make today is that the resurrection is real. Jesus went into the tomb, but death could not hold Him. Death could not keep Him down. That there was lots of evidence, historical accounts, people that wrote it down at that time when Jesus Christ was no longer in the tomb, and you can go to that tomb over in Israel today where they laid Jesus Christ. They have almost certain knowledge of where that tomb is. You can go to that tomb and you will not see any bones. You will not see anything that was left there by Jesus. And so you can know for certain that Jesus Christ no longer is held by death. He was not held by death then. He is not held by death now. His body and His bones are not laying any place here on this earth in a grave anywhere or decomposed anywhere. His ashes are not any place here on this earth. And you can know also because of that, because Jesus Christ had victory over death and He had victory over the sting of death, then you can also know that Jesus Christ gives us victory over death, and that death no longer has victory over us. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about this, the sting of death, and how we have victory over it. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, when the corruptible, he's talking about our bodies, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, that's our resurrection body, when the corruptible puts on incorruption, and this mortal body has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so just as Jesus Christ had victory over death, he had victory over the sting of death, and that sting comes from sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we sin, we separate ourselves from God and we take on the death nature, we take on death. And the only way out of that dilemma, the only way that we can be reconciled back to God, the only way that we can have our sins forgiven and that we can overcome the sting of death in our life. And I'm speaking here not of natural death, because we're all going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Everyone on this earth, 100% of us are going to die. But what I'm speaking of here is the eternal death that comes when we are separated from God. That eternal death that comes when we do not recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God has given you a way. He has prepared a way for you to escape that sting of that eternal death. He has prepared a way for you to come to know eternal life with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in heaven. He has prepared a way for you that you will not fall into the trap of the devil, and that you will not be with the devil for all eternity. He has prepared a way for you to know not only the kingdom of God in your eternal life after you pass away from this earth, but he has prepared a way for you to walk in that kingdom, to walk in that glory here on this earth while you live here, while you walk in your natural flesh. He has prepared a way for you to come to know him and to walk in that glory and to walk in the kingdom of God here on this earth. Well, beloved, I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope that you believe that he was raised from the dead, that death no longer had domain and had no victory over him, and that you can know that same victory in your life, that you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you can start to walk in that freedom and in that victory today in your life. And I pray that you know him, and if you don't, I pray that you get down on your knees and just ask the Lord to reveal himself to you, to show himself mighty to you, that he is mighty to save, and that he wants to save you, and that he wants you to be in that sheepfold. He wants you to have victory over the sting of eternal death. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I pray that each of you would come alongside to partner with this ministry. We've got some great things going in the ministry. We have a trip to Africa planned, and I'm inviting each and every one of you to come to Africa with me. I'm going to be leaving the 6th of July. We're going to be spending 2 weeks in Kenya working on the orphanage project out in West Kenya. And so I invite you to go with me. If you think you'd be interested in a trip like that, email me at pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know that you're interested, and I'll send you an itinerary of the trip. We're going to be spending a week there working at the orphanage site, and then tour the Masai Mara, the big wildlife refuge there in southern Kenya. And so it'll be a trip that you would love to go to and love to go on. And so I pray that you would email me and let me know that you're interested, and I'll get you that itinerary and let you know what is entailed in the trip. And then secondly, I'm going to be preaching crusades in Congo and in Burundi and in Kenya this summer. After the orphanage trip, I'm going to be going on to preach crusades, and so I pray that you would ask the Lord what you can do to help send me. We're going to need quite a bit of money to preach these crusades and to pay for the sound systems, pray for the security and the advertisement and all the travel. And so I just ask the Lord to touch your heart. If you think this is something you could help do, is to pay for these crusades and Beloved, to bring people into the kingdom is the greatest miracle of all, and to bring people into the kingdom is what God wills for each and every one of us, and so I consider it a great privilege to be a spokesman for the Lord and to be an ambassador for the Lord and to go out and help bring in the lost sheep into the kingdom of God. And so if you think you'd be a part of that and like to help be a sending agent there, pray about your part and get in touch with me through the contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.